Today I'm joined by Ella Glendinning, director of film Is There Anybody Out There, which is playing in the upcoming Sydney Film Festival. Welcome, Ella. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Although your film was released earlier this year, for those who haven't seen it or are waiting till the film festival to see it, how would you describe Is There Anybody Out There?
Is There Anybody Out There is a personal documentary about my search for other people with the same unusual looking body as me, basically. I'm disabled, I'm a wheelchair user, and I'm short in height and I have a very unusual looking body. So it's really a journey film. And it's really about ableism and loving yourself as a disabled person in an ableist world.
How did you feel when the movie was first released? At least I imagine that it might have been quite daunting opening yourself up, but also knowing that a lot of people will be reacting to that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still sort of reeling from the experience, to be honest, even though it premiered at Sundance in January. I'm still getting used to the fact that it's out there in the world. And I think it is such an exposing and vulnerable and personal film. So it was painful, but very rewarding. I mean, like I was very naive. I didn't realize that there'd be like reviews everywhere immediately after the premiere and stuff. Nobody warned me. It's still such a process getting used to it, but the reaction from the disabled community so far has been so positive, and that's just, yeah, the most rewarding thing in the world. So mostly good, but overwhelming.
Now, since it's premiered and obviously hearing people's reactions, did you almost watch your film again with a fresh set of eyes or a new perspective?
Do you know what? I became so numb to the film.
Oh, really?
Because I've watched it so many times, I suppose something that happened at the premiere, which had never happened before, and I had, you know, watched it, I mean, absolutely countless times leading up to it, because I was doing the captions and stuff, so I had to watch and rewatch and rewatch. Yeah, something that shifted in my perspective is I was finding different things moving that before I hadn't found so moving. So there's like a lot of archive footage of me as a child, which for some reason before I knew it was lovely, but it didn't evoke a real emotional response in me. But yeah, the premiere, for some reason, that really hit me hard. I think I just thought, oh my God, little me.
It was really interesting to see when you were interviewing people, going through archives, your own emotional response. And I feel like that translated to the audience, or at least myself as an audience member in some sense of the word, that having a real emotional response to the film. Now, I understand that the film also, you really want to stress your viewpoint, which we'll get into in a little bit. But were there certain emotions you intended to elicit from the audience?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I wanted the film to be very moving, but I wanted it mainly, I guess, less evoking emotions and more getting people to think about disability in a different way. That was always my main goal with the film. So yeah, I definitely didn't want to invoke pity, obviously, or yeah, like embarrassment or anything other than anger about ableism, I guess, and more awareness about ableism and just sort of feelings of joy and love for the disabled community, I guess.
Are there any specific feedback or reactions from the disabled community? I know you mentioned it before, that really struck a chord with you.
Yeah, I mean, loads. I think the first thing that springs to mind when you ask that question is when I spoke to someone after a screening who just said, thank you for giving a voice to those of us who don't feel that we need fixing. And I think, yeah, that's a very key message in my film. And I'm really glad that it speaks to people.
Yeah, and to my understanding, this documentary was filmed over 4 years. Now, beyond just filming, the research process and editing and everything together, how was the experience of deciding what goes in and out? I feel like this topic is so large and you discovered it, in my view, in an absolutely extraordinary way. But was it hard kind of deciding what you should keep in the film, what to keep out?
Thank you. Yeah, it was so hard. I mean, exactly. It was years and years of footage and all this archive footage from my childhood as well, and all this archive footage from history, disability history. which is another element of the film. But it was really hard, and editing was such an emotional process, and it was so difficult having to let go of my ego, first of all, because I had to let myself be exposed in a way that would serve the film and serve the story that I was trying to tell. First of all, I had to totally let go of my ego. But also there were some scenes that didn't make the cut of ultimately, but were in earlier edits that were like so beautiful, and we had to get rid of because they just weren't quite serving the story enough. Like there's this really, really beautiful scene that I still think about now, and I'm sad didn't make the film, but also didn't have a place in the film, which is a scene with my dad, and he's in his garden and he's feeding a baby bird, a daddy blackbird, who then takes the food and feeds the baby. And he's just talking about how blackbirds share parenting. And I don't know, it's just like this really poignant scene about parenting, and you can really feel his character. It's really gentle. And anyway, it doesn't exist anymore, but it was really hard making decisions to cut things that I loved ultimately for the best for the film.
Now, you said about leaving your ego aside. Considering you're obviously director, writer, editor, and obviously filming the scenes, were there different mentalities you had to have, or did you have to compartmentalize certain feelings in certain situations?
Yes, I definitely did have to compartmentalize. I had a brilliant editor, Rachel Roberts, who, we worked very, very closely together on the edit, obviously. And she I had to step back from things like, for example, looking back on my video diaries. It was years and years of video diaries, and I did them like several times a week for years, so there was so much material. And I just she so she watched all of those for me and made notes, and I watched I did end up watching quite a lot of it back. But then I went through her notes, and it was really difficult seeing like her reaction to some of my video diaries. Not that it was horrible, like she's it was just really, really, really a process letting go of my ego in that way. But I did learn how to compartmentalize a bit in the end, and I got very used to it, you know.
Yeah, and with your video diaries, I found it really cool to see that in a documentary, but it really created, at least what I feel, this sense of intimacy between you and conveying your story. Now, filming those personal diaries and then editing them into the film, were you a little bit hesitant with those inner thoughts being shared?
I think while I was doing the video diaries, I shared everything because I knew. I mean, that's the beauty of the fact that I'm ultimately in charge. I'm the director, so I knew that I could pick and choose, which I did. But I mean, again, it felt exposing, and there are video diaries that made the cut that make me cringe, but also I think are good for the story and all that. So, the video diaries, I got so used to doing them. It was so weird when I didn't have to do it anymore. And such a relief. But yeah, it's just like it became just completely normal to do ranty video diary every day.
I was about to ask, has it become like a habit? Have you continued making video diaries of your everyday life?
No.
Now, something else I found very powerful about your film was, along with the fact that it was telling your own story, you gave a voice for other people with disabilities, like Priscilla, Charlie, Naomi, which was really powerful to see their stories as well. Now, how important was it to highlight their experiences within your own?
It's so important. So important. I mean, initially the film wasn't even going to be such a personal film. I really wanted to tell to yeah give a voice to the disabled community, people, individuals in the disabled community. It was really important for me to speak to Naomi. I always knew I wanted her to be part of the film. She's one of my closest friends, and I think it's just interesting that our experiences of disability are so different. We have very different conditions, yet we have this incredible bond, which is because we experience ableism and feeling other in a very similar way. And there was a similar thing when I did meet Priscilla and Priscilla and Ricardo. It was an amazing kind of discovery. It was really interesting to find out that we all shared this like really strong, desperate drive to prove ourselves. That was like the most interesting discovery in terms of our similarities, I think. And it's sad, but it's also kind of cool. Like, we're all like very headstrong and very ambitious. And yeah, that's, you have to, I think you have to be if you want to sort of survive and thrive in an ableist world as a disabled person.
Yeah, and that was a kind of point I picked up quite a lot throughout the documentary, was this sense of trying to prove something. And obviously this film is titled as Is There Anybody Out There? And it goes through this search for that somebody, but are you still trying to prove something, or has that kind of wrapped up with the movie itself?
Yeah, I think if I'm completely honest, yes, the drive is still prevalent. But it was a big sort of confidence boost to do this film that I'm really proud of. I think it's amazing, and it's not for everyone. Like, I think it's divisive. It's definitely not for everyone, and that's something that I need to learn to deal with. Like, it's gonna make some people angry, and it's gonna make other people's hearts sing and speak to them really profoundly, and I'm seeing that already. I think that the film has made a good point, but yeah, no, the drive's still in me, and I think that's what, yeah, I continue to be very determined and determined to make work that's amazing, but it's not really about me. It is about like fighting for the disabled community. That's ultimately what I'm trying to do.
Using certain archival footage, like the past documentaries with Kevin when he was a child, and seeing that some people in general society might assume, oh, there's been loads of progress in terms of how we perceive difference amongst individuals. But your film really challenges that with exposing the ableism that you encounter in day-to-day interactions. Now, would you agree that you're showing the reality that is, there might not be that much progress we assume to be?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of progress in terms of like accessibility since the documentary that Kevin was in when he was a child. But I don't think attitude-wise there's been much of a shift. I mean, I know there's not because yeah, the sort of prejudice that he was facing attitude-wise is exactly what I face today. So yeah, it's a curious thing. I guess it's just very slow, but I really, really believe in the power of art to change things and open people's minds.
Yeah, and with your search for someone who looks like you in the film, at times we see that life just gets in the way, whether it was your pregnancy or COVID, and it almost feels as if the search was still continuing, but at times it was kind of the background to what was going on in your experiences. How did you, during the filming or your process of making the film, find the motivation to continue this search that you initially started out for?
Well, I definitely don't do anything by halves, and I'm very determined. Like, I couldn't let it go. But it was equally about meeting someone like me, wanting to meet someone who had this shared experience. And because I was so determined to make this amazing film, and I was so determined to make a film that was going to be, yeah, like a battle cry for disabled people. So yeah, I was very, very determined, but it was not just really the personal journey. It was actually, to be honest, more about making the film.
There's a point in your film where you discuss the television and film industry and you express your experiences of discrimination and feeling left out. How did that influence the making of your own film? Beyond interviewing, were people with disabilities incorporated into making the film as well?
Yeah, that's a good question. To be honest, so my film team was really tiny. There is one person in the team who's sort of newly identifying as disabled, but it was really just like the core team, creative team. It was me, my producer, my cinematographer, and my editor. And yeah, they weren't disabled, but and I'm really passionate about working with disabled people, and I really champion that, and have since made work with like full disabled crew and stuff, made a couple of short films, and I want to continue working with disabled people and non-disabled people. But yeah, in this case, it was not the case, and still, I feel like I worked with people who really, really got the project. When I met my producer, Janine, I knew that she could identify with that feeling of other, and that was the most important to me.
Now, something that I quite loved about the film was seeing your interviews with your parents, and that carries out through the film. But I really want to know, what were their reactions to the film after seeing it? How did they describe it to you?
Yeah, they actually only watched it quite recently.
Oh,
I
wow.
had a Yeah, and I didn't show them for ages. They didn't they didn't seem to be desperate to see it. And then, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they were nervous. I think they were a bit nervous. But I had a friends and family screening a few weeks ago, which they came to, and that was the first time watching it. And yeah, they both loved it. They thought it was great. My mum didn't cry. I don't think my dad cried. It's funny, I think. I don't know. They were really complimentary about it, and it was a really lovely night. But then at the same time, they were there. They saw it all. They've seen it all already because it's my life, and we're very close. And yeah, my dad said it was funnier than he expected, which is nice.
Now, as we know, this is getting shown in the upcoming Sydney Film Festival. And there's also with the Sydney Film Festival is the Screenability Program, which is a broader initiative aimed at increasing the involvement of underrepresented groups in the screen industry. Now, beyond just the Screenability Program, how important do you think it is to ensure that these film festivals are giving recognition to artists who come from a range of backgrounds that are often underrepresented?
Yeah, I think it's vitally important. I think that I'm so passionate about representation. I mean, it's like cliche to say, but also so true that it's just everything. If you grow up not seeing yourself on screen, and we all watch telly and films all the time, I mean, it's just so alienating. So I think, yeah, and I also think that people from marginalized groups need to tell their own stories. I don't think it's good enough having whatever non-disabled person telling a disabled story. It almost always goes horribly, horribly wrong and backfires and is actually quite damaging. So I think it's vitally important, but equally it's a really d difficult question because you don't want to be a tick box, and that's like forever the curse of this argument is yeah. I will always have, well, I don't know. I hope I won't always have, but yeah, definitely imposter syndrome, worrying that I just get opportunities because I'm disabled. But also, I know deep down that I'm also very talented.
Yes, you are very talented. Now, you've mentioned a little bit previously about working on some short films after this film, but was there any film in the near future we can expect to come?
Yes, I can tell you about the most exciting film in the universe. It's working title Curiosities of Fools.
Ooh.
And thank you. It's a historical drama about the life of a court dwarf in the 1600s. And I'm writing the screenplay at the moment. I'm sort of finishing the first draft. That's for the BFI. And Janine Marmot's producing it again. So the producer of this film, of Is There Anybody Out There? So yes, I'm really excited because I'm like writing is actually my biggest passion. So I'll be writing and directing this, and I am very excited to be making something that's not about me, and that's very different, and it's fiction.
Yes, it seems very, very exciting. I think that comes to the end of our interview. Thank you so much for joining us, Ella.
Thank you so much.
And for those listening, Is There Anybody Out There is now screening at the Sydney Film Festival.